Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live with this Tuesday edition of the show. So glad to have you with us. We do this each day at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Let's get right to it today. The guest lineup by Honey Baked Ham each day. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, which are news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In our headlines, we'll take a look at, I mentioned yesterday, captains announced yesterday. I want to expand on that a little bit in our headlines segment. Also, NBA preseason last night. I'm sure most of you were glued to your TV watching it, but in case you weren't, we'll take a look at how some of the IU guys did. It's always fun, especially in the preseason. A lot of minutes to go around. A lot of players that may or may not be solid on rosters in the regular season get an opportunity for some playing time. So we'll take a look at how Yogi, Troy Williams, Noah Vonleh, Thomas Bryant did last night in NBA preseason action. Also, I've got a note about Ohio State recruiting and Chris Holtmann. I talk a lot about Archie Miller versus Chris Holtmann. Both have similar backgrounds, both great recruiting connections in the Midwest and beyond. We'll talk about their recruiting class in 2019. And that's a look at what we'll talk about in the headlines. Also, segment two today, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star will be our guest. Greg's segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, and Greg was at Hoosier Hysteria. Greg wrote about Romeo Langford, and to no surprise, the autograph line for Romeo Langford was nearly impossible to get through, and the amount of time allotted for autographs by the players after the event, the applause and the welcoming to Romeo, you could call it, at Hoosier Hysteria was unbelievable. And Greg had a great piece on that kind of summarized some things pretty nicely. We'll talk about that. We'll talk some other IU basketball stuff. We'll talk Hoosier Hysteria. Might get into a little IU football with him. Finally, later today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us. With Mike, we will talk more football. We'll recap the Rutgers road win for the IU football team over the weekend. We'll also turn the page and look at a really big game coming up for Indiana, a big, big challenge. Going to be a very difficult game for the Hoosiers for a number of reasons. They play at Ohio State. That's all things we'll cover today in the show, presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one, IU captains announced yesterday. I mentioned this when we came on the air yesterday. Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts will be the captains for the 2018-19 season. I don't think there's any surprise with that. They were elected or represented by a team vote to decide who the captains would be and announced by the school yesterday. Of course, last week it was announced that those two players would be the IU representatives at Big Ten Media Days later this month in Chicago. The reason I bring this up again, announcing your team captains, I guess, is a big deal. It kind of solidifies who you think the leaders are, the leaders will be. But the main reason I bring it up again is a really interesting tweet I saw yesterday from Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who joins the show on Thursdays. He said, quote, "This is the first time in at least 10 years, the last 10 years, that Indiana has publicly named team captains. It didn't ever happen under Tom Crean, and it didn't happen last season either," end quote. Of course, last season would have been Archie Miller, his first season at the program. But I do find it interesting that all of a sudden now we have captains, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to announce them. I think it's a good role to have. Maybe the teams have always had captains. Last year and in Indiana, they just weren't announced to the public. But obviously an interesting little note there, Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts, captains for the 18-19 season. Headline number two, first look at Hoosiers in the NBA preseason last night. We've got some basketball back on television on a regular basis now. Maybe I'll catch a little preseason basketball. I'm sure you guys will too. It's not anything you can get too into, even if it's the Pacers or a team that you're really passionate about. The preseason is not anything like the regular season, and then the regular season really isn't anything like the playoffs to me. But so IU guys in action. It is fun in the preseason to see some of the IU guys. Some of these guys will get ample minutes for their teams in the regular season. Others, who knows, they might be in the G League, they might be at the bottom of the roster fighting for some minutes, fighting for a role on their team. But Yogi Ferrell was the standout last night for the Sacramento Kings. 26 points, so he gets off to a great start for Sacramento. He was 9 of 14 from the field. He was 6 of 9 from three-point range. That's tremendous. He also had 3 rebounds, 3 assists last night. Troy Williams had a solid night as well for the Pelicans. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Noah Vonleh for the Knicks. 8 points on 3 of 5 shooting, 5 rebounds in the game. And Thomas Bryant for the Washington Wizards. He's one guy that will really be battling for a spot on that roster and for some playing time to see where he actually does land for the upcoming season. He had 2 points but 5 rebounds yesterday for the Washington Wizards in their preseason debut. Headline number 3, Ohio State recruiting picking up pace, and they're really making some ground up in the 2019 class. And the reason I mention this is not to create some hostility toward Ohio State from IU fans, but I have said this regularly on the program that I think you will see tremendous recruiting battles and tremendous battles on the court between Archie Miller and Chris Holtmann at Ohio State. They both have very tremendous backgrounds. Of course, Archie was in Ohio at a solid mid-major like Dayton. Holtmann was in Indiana at, I won't even call him a mid-major, but a really good college basketball program in Butler that he was able to continue to build upon the success that had been laid there before him. Both of those guys kind of switched roles. They went from medium to larger size schools in their respective states that both had very competitive basketball programs. I guess I should say they switched states. Holtmann to Ohio, Miller to Indiana, and now they're in some real big recruiting battles, obviously, here. And I think it's just beginning. But a note on Ohio State, yesterday they got a commitment from a 2019 recruit from Illinois named E.J. Liddell. That makes Ohio State the only school in the country at this point, and this will change, with 3 top 50 commitments in the 2019 class. That's really strong recruiting by Holtmann and his staff at Ohio State. We feel like that the recruiting has been really strong by Archie Miller and his staff at Indiana. They have opportunities to land at least 2 really good opportunities, it looks like, to land at least 2 top 50 players in Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis. So these schools, I think, and I mean, this is not any kind of bold prediction, this is kind of common sense, but recruiting-wise, both in the state of Indiana, in the state of Ohio, even in the Midwest, maybe even beyond, on the floor in Big Ten Conference play, I think we're going to have a tremendous, tremendous battle on our hand between these two great young coaches in college basketball. Again, they'll be going, they already have been at each other in recruiting. Holtmann struck with a recruit in Bloomington, even though it was a player that Indiana had not offered yet. Obviously, they have some strong connections in the state, does Ohio State, that coaching staff with Holtmann obviously leading the way, given his time in Indianapolis at Butler. But going to be interesting to watch this one over the next number of years, including this season. But I think this is really the future of the Big Ten Conference. Not saying that there won't be some other great teams, not saying that there won't be some other great programs that continue or that maybe build up to get top-level recruits every year. But I think specifically Indiana and Ohio State, with the coaching staffs that they have, the head coaches that they have, the facilities, the fan support, everything, I think it's going to be unbelievable, some of the battles that they have both on and off the floor coming up in future seasons. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Oh, one other recruiting note, 5-star 2019 guard Anthony Harris. He will commit later today. I think he said he was going to make his commitment at 3 p.m. today. He recently, like over the past weekend, recently had an official visit to Duke. He also has taken official visits to Wake Forest and Virginia Tech. I mention this because IU offered him a while back many, many other schools. In fact, a boatload of really strong Division I schools want his services, have recruited him, have offered scholarships. I think a lot of people think Duke's the favorite, Wake Forest and Virginia Tech also the major players in the running. Do not expect Indiana to get a commitment from him when he makes his decision later today, but it looks like another key 2019 player will be off the board this afternoon. Again, our headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. It's day two, today is, of Hoopster Sports Grill's five-year anniversary celebration. You can get three buffalo chicken tacos or three beef tacos for only $5 starting at 11 a.m. That deal is good until 10 p.m. tonight. It's also Tuesday, which means it's Trivia Tuesday at Hoopsters. Sign-ups for Trivia open at 6 o'clock tonight. The Trivia Contest, it begins at 7 o'clock tonight, but make sure you check out that great deal, three buffalo chicken tacos or three beef tacos, only $5 starting at 11 a.m. today at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk a lot about Romeo, a lot about Hoosier hysteria, IU basketball, perhaps a little IU football, and more coming up next here on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and on Tuesdays, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us on the Hoosier Report, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, I saw you at Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday afternoon. Obviously, we were both there to see, you know, the start of the season, I guess, unofficially, but more so the introduction of the on-the-court performance for the first time, even though it was in a very brief scrimmage, more of a pep session-type environment than anything, but the introduction to Romeo Langford at Assembly Hall in Bloomington.
Yeah, they introduced every player on the team, obviously, name by name, and they introduced the assistant coaches and head coach Archie Miller, and before that, the women, too. So that gave the crowd, I don't know, 30, 35 chances to give people an ovation one at a time. And there was nothing close to Romeo. I mean, nothing close. And Juwan Morgan, they love Juwan Morgan. He's a senior. So you love your seniors. You love your best player. You love your all-Big Ten guy coming back. And you love a great guy like Juwan Morgan. And yet, even his ovation wasn't close. I mean, this, I compared it to, in a story I wrote, because I was thinking about this, is that Romeo gets the Tiger Woods thing. Whereas, you know, the ovation that Tiger gets, it's not just that they're, you know, you did something good, Tiger, and so we're going to cheer. It's more like we need you to do something good, and so when you do something good, we're cheering for us as much as anything else because we're happy we saw it. And that's kind of Romeo at Assembly Hall. People are cheering, but they're almost cheering for themselves. Like, I'm just happy you're here. You're finally in the flesh here. And it's almost a frenzy that you don't hear from normal ovations. It's something else.
You know, it was almost like that was what the majority of the crowd was there for. Yeah, they want to see the team scrimmage for a bit, or maybe the kids wanted to see the slam dunk contest, but there was so much build up to the introductions and then build up to the freshman, and when he finally made his way out, it was almost like, I agree with you, like a sense of relief that, yeah, we know you're going to do great things, we'll applaud for those as they happen, but for now, this applause is just because you're actually walking out onto Assembly Hall's court as a Hoosier and not a recruit this year.
Oh yeah, it was almost it was kind of weird to see him there in candy stripes, just because we've all been waiting to see it, and I know this entire state, at least the entire IU fan base, wanted to see it. But it's almost like seeing Santa Claus. Like, oh, he's real. like, we've heard about this guy forever, and he's a, you know, we all look up to him and blah, 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 but he, there actually is a Santa Claus. And, I mean, that was Romeo showing up there. It was, I mean, we all know he's real, and yet until you actually see it, it's a whole different thing. And there was one moment, to me, the, gosh, no, it's not. Never mind. There's another moment that's even more powerful than this one. But a powerful moment to me was when they're showing a montage. The Oladipo and Cody Zeller donated a lot of money.
Yes.
They refurbished the locker rooms and poured a lot of money to the locker rooms. And so they're like a two-minute video about the locker room. And here's what it looks like, and it's set to music. And they're showing different things in the locker room. And then at one point, for about a half second, because I guess all the players on the team have their own little kind of poster-sized photo
right.
of whoever you are. Juwan Morgan's got, they all fantasy. They all have a photo of themselves, poster-sized, hanging in the locker room. Well, they showed Romeo's poster, and the crowd erupted. Just at his poster on a video. Like, Romeo's standing right there in the court. We can see you, but now we're going to cheer because there's a poster of you on our scoreboard. It was the damnedest thing.
Yeah, I saw that moment as well. Pretty impressive. Obviously, and I always say this, great column about Saturday's activities, and of course, a lot of it centered around Romeo, the autograph lines. But you closed your column with a really neat sentence, and I've heard a couple people mention this. Welcome to IU Romeo, or should I say, welcome to Romeo IU.
Thank you. Romeo is an experience. I mean, he's an experience. And whether he wants to be or not, and we all know the answer to that, and that's what makes him so great. He doesn't want to be an experience. He doesn't want this. He gets it, and he deserves it, but he doesn't go around looking to be the rock star. He just happens to be a rock star. He's a reluctant rock star, I guess. I use that line someday. He's a reluctant rock star. But having Romeo on your campus is, especially at IU, the show just came. Like, IU is a show all by itself. IU basketball is a big deal. They don't need any help being a big deal. And yet Romeo kind of, I'm not sure, he's not a bigger deal. But frankly, in this one space and time, at this exact moment, Romeo is almost a bigger deal than IU. At this exact moment. Just because he's new and he's finally here and we've been waiting for him for 4 years and it happened. And so, yeah, welcome to Romeo, IU, because now IU, you're now the you're the secondary thing. Romeo's the big thing. You're second. Just for a moment, but it's pretty cool.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. One more Romeo thing that I want to talk a little bit of other Hoosier hysteria thoughts you may have. I was sitting with Coach Shannon from New Albany, also New Albany's athletic director, Don Unruh, Saturday at Hoosier Hysteria. In the end zone underneath one of the baskets, and a lot of people coming up, obviously, to Coach Shannon and Coach Unruh, and, you know, hey, glad to have a New Albany kid here in Bloomington, glad to see him finally, you know, on the court, those sort of things. And there were some people saying, you know, the kids normally come out and dance when they're introduced. The lights go out. Of course, we didn't know anything at that time about the really awesome court graphics that they had, but do you guys think that that Romeo will dance? You probably know him in that sense, at least right now, better than anyone. And I think it was unanimous. All of us said, oh, no, he might come out and crack a smile or wave or something like that. But, oh, there's no chance he'll dance. Well, we all three would have lost money if we bet. I don't know that he went into a full breakdown like some of the other women's players or men's players maybe did. But he did get out there and give a couple quick moves. And obviously, to me, it was a sign of a guy that has been pretty quiet and pretty straight-faced on and off the court for most, if not all, of his high school career, that I think he's really enjoying himself there on and off the court.
Yeah, he's home. That you hope that any freshman, big name, small name, heck, even a sociology major, you hope that they feel like they're home at the college they picked. And Romeo clearly feels home. And I was talking to folks, you know, kind of behind the scenes, support people. They say that he's becoming, I mean, he's just putting down roots there. And I mean, and roots are relative. I mean, he's not going to be there 4 years, but like, he's there. Here's what was told to me, is a lot of one and done guys. You can tell they're passing through, and you can't even fault them for that. They are passing through. But Romeo is acting like a guy where there's going to the college football game with teammates, or showing up at a high school game when New Albany was in town, ironically, to play Bloomington North or South, I forget, football. Romeo's there. I mean, he's living the college experience. He's He's, you know, enjoying classes with his – I mean, he's doing the whole thing. Like, he's there. For however long he's there, he is all in. And that's the kind of thing that also wins over not just a team, but wins over a school, because the school knows, the kids know, and they talk. I'm talking about just the classmates. They know what's going on campus. They know that Romeo's there, not just passing through. And that's pretty powerful. You're going to move on, but I do want to say this about Romeo, is that I was there for the Seymour Regional when and what I saw was apparently normal. You know, it was an hour after the game ended, and the whole New Albany team, I remember I can see like Sean East and guys like that literally lying down on the bleachers, just lying down waiting to go and waiting for Romeo, and he's signing autographs. There's hundreds of people on the court, and it took forever. And you don't know if that's going to happen at IU because they're used to, you know, they're all stars. When you come to IU, whoever you are, you're a star somewhere. Romeo, they had autographs afterwards. They sent the players to four corners of the concourse, north, south, east, west corners, and they put three or four players at every table. So in theory, it wasn't a guy attracting a crowd, but we all know what's going on here. I went and saw the other three tables, and they had lines, you know, a line of people who could get autographs, 30, 40 people. And then I saw the Romeo line, and it wasn't even a line. It was a mosh pit. It was so big that I didn't even know what I was looking at. And I didn't know what I was looking at until an usher said, she just announced to everybody, can I get your attention? This is a line, and she described it. It goes here, goes there, goes there, goes there, goes there, and then it wraps around. She wanted people to know where to stand because looking at it, you can't tell. And I actually told her, would you repeat that for me? What did you just say? And she repeated it for me. She made it sound like the line was going to Indianapolis and back, the way she described it. It was going here and here. And it was like what I saw at Seymour when I went there for the regional. I got there, 2 hours before game. 2 hours before the first game, and New Albany had, I believe, the second game. So maybe 4 hours before the first game. Seymour started out front, went to the street, made a left turn, went to the parking lot, made a left turn, went behind some porta-potties back in the back, and then kept going, but I got sick of walking, and I didn't even look anymore. Like, you're still going. I don't even know how far you're going, but I'm going to call it good and say I've seen enough because I've walked far enough. But that happened to Romeo Bloomington. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented each week on Tuesdays by Coffee Crossing. Other takeaways from Hoosier Hysteria? The scrimmage was fun but brief, and you could tell it was a team that really hadn't gotten too far into any sort of official practices yet, but it's hard to not talk about that scrimmage or the shooting contest and mention Evan Fitzner, but I'm curious not only about him, but other takeaways you might have.
Yeah, Evan was going to be the first name I mentioned. Evan's got that, I mean, he's got a basketball card or whatever, for like he's got stats that say he is what he is. I mean, he's played long enough, he's got numbers. He's not as consistent as Chris Crush Davis of the Oakland A's, who has literally hit 247 4 years in a row. That's crazy. But you know what Chris Davis is. Evan Fitzner, we know what he is. We know he can shoot. We don't need to see him shoot in an exhibition to know that he can shoot. And yet to watch him shoot, like some guys shoot the ball, and when they shoot it, you think, well, that's got to go in. That shot is so beautiful. That form is so beautiful and so comfortable that it's going in, and you're surprised when it doesn't. And even good college shooters, they don't all have that look about them. Booker, the guy at Kentucky, well, he went to Kentucky, Phoenix, Devin Booker. First time I saw him shoot in warmups, I knew, okay, you're like a historically good shooter because it's that good. And I'm not saying Fister's that good. He's not. I mean, historically good is a level we're going to save for a handful of people, and he doesn't get it. But Evan Fitzner has a shot that you look at and you say, okay, that's going in every time because it's that beautiful. And he's 6'10". You can't block it. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a big problem. And Zach McRoberts is going to be a problem. What IU fan coaches are telling me behind the scenes is that Zach McRoberts is the most improved shooter on the team. And he hit 39% last year. He didn't shoot a whole lot, but he hit 39%. But he's a glue guy. He plays for defense. He plays for effort and passing and tips and all that. He tips the ball on defense. But you can't leave him alone now. He's going to bury shots in your face. And Fitzner will too. And all that means is that Romeo is going to have a lot of downhill. And this is the word IU coaches were using to describe it. He's going to have a lot of downhill attacks of the rim, which is what he does best, and you can't stop him. And I love watching the way Romeo moves. I know I'm bringing it back to Romeo, but all roads lead to Romeo for me. I saw it at Seymour, too. You know, I've seen it a lot. Actually, I saw it, Phil, when I really remember seeing it most was at the All-Star game, Indiana versus Kentucky All-Star game, when Romeo is playing defense. When Romeo plays defense and he's kind of lurking, he's like following you around. He's kind of lurking. He's following. I remember it's kind of like watching, if I was at SeaWorld, if I was watching a shark follow a school of fish. Like, it's just ominous. Like, you're kind of following, you're lurking, you're dangerous. You're a whole different genetic creature than what they are, and you're about to do something bad to them. And watching Romeo play defense even in the scrimmage was kind of like, you're a shark, and you're dangerous, and you're going to be, and we all know he can score, but he's going to be a defensive problem.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Outside of Juwan Morgan and obviously Romeo, Fitzner has kind of caught my attention at the media day.
I got one more name for you.
Yeah.
I got one more name for you.
At the media day, you know, with Fitzner, we're talking about his shooting, but one of the players, And I think Coach Miller at some time mentioned he's, you know, an inside-out player, post moves, and that's intriguing. But I'm stealing the name out of your mouth. The other player I had to bring up today is Devontae Green. Is that match up with what you had to say or no?
Well, it's not. Now, listen, about IU, there's about seven guys I could name right now. There really are. I'm seeing that IU is apparently not a preseason top 25 team. And that's, you know, the world is not in a vacuum. It's like when you say, well, they've got to be a tournament, like in March or in February. Well, they've got to be a tournament team. They're good enough. Well, yeah, but if there's 64 or 67 other better, then they're not. You don't play in a vacuum. So what I'm about to say about IU is I don't know what the rest of the country looks like. I certainly don't have a great vision of 25 NCAA teams. So I can't say for sure, because I really don't know that IU is not a top 25 team. But I do know this, after, you know, I've paid pretty close attention to the sport for 20 years, and just from looking at their roster, just from watching them at Hoosier Stadium, just from talking to their coaches and knowing what I know about what they have, there is no way they're not a top 25 team. There's no way, because of guys like Devontae Green, who is, from what everybody, I mean, he was really good last year, but he's going to be apparently more consistent. But they've got a lot of guys that I could name as, okay, watch out for him. But here's the guy, Jerome Hunter, the other really good recruit in their class. They got three or four really good recruits. They're the top 10 in class. Good Romeo made a top five, I guess. But Jerome Hunter, 6'7" wing out of Ohio. Archie Miller himself said, and Archie's not he doesn't brag about him. He is not a big talker. We've talked about this. Archie's no nonsense. Archie said at Media Day that Jerome Hunter will be an all Big Ten player someday. And to say that about a freshman who's never played a game, and when Archie Miller's the guy saying it, you can take that to the bank. And I saw him, and what I noticed about Hunter, and he was matched up with Romeo in the scrimmage, and he wanted it. He wanted Romeo. Because I think he feels, and I'm sure they get along great. In fact, they were at the same autograph booth together, the table together. So I'm sure they're buddies. But that was his moment to show everybody, hey, I see Romeo's out here. I'm guarding him. Watch this. And he was all over Romeo. At one point, I don't know if you saw it, Matt, but they're going down the court, and I use offense. I think Romeo had the ball. I forget if Romeo, maybe Romeo cut through the lane wanting to get a pass. And Hunter put his shoulder into Romeo's sternum and just knocked him 20 feet away. Mm. And it was the kind of thing you don't – did you see that?
I didn't.
In a scrimmage – oh, you didn't? In a scrimmage, you don't do that, inter-squad scrimmage. But he did it because he just wants it. He's going to be really good, and certainly in 2 or 3 years. But I think as a freshman, he's going to be really good.
Interesting. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. One final basketball topic I want to bring up. We haven't got to this much on the show other than a couple mentions of it as they were announced, but some big facility improvements, obviously not necessarily Assembly Hall or the court itself, but some big facility improvements with the training center, with the Oladipo Zeller Players Lounge, which is obviously a place to play games, a place to study, a place to do whatever you do to get away from the pressure of college basketball. But some big moves on that side of things from IU as well, to either take a step up to be competitive or maybe in some areas take a step beyond where other high major programs are at right now.
Well, here's the truth about IU basketball for the last 30 years. Everybody knows this. Everybody, certainly from the outside looking in, has seen this, that Assembly Hall became a dump kind of overnight. And Pauley Pavilion at UCLA became a dump until they poured a ton of money into it and made it better. What happens is when you're really great, and Assembly Hall and IU was really great, sometimes some people, the wrong people in charge, for example, the kind of AD that would hire Kelvin Sampson, 6 months after he cheated his rear end off at Oklahoma and hired him anyway. When the wrong people are in charge, they take it for granted what they have and kind of assume it'll always be this way, and it won't. You've got to be hungry at all times or you're going to get passed. Assembly Hall became a dump. And that's what over the years when people used to argue, is IU an elite job anymore? You know, Bob Knight, when he's there, yeah, it's an elite job, but is it elite anymore? And one thing that went into that was that Assembly Hall's a dump. Well, it's older and it still needs some work, but they renovated last year a lot of it, you know, the big stuff, the big stuff in the end zones and whatever. But what you're talking about, the locker rooms, now they're getting the fine-tuned stuff, the locker rooms, the graphics on the court. I mean, they introduced players, and they showed, like, holographs of Romeo and Archie Moe and all these guys and put it on the court itself. And I've never seen that before. I'm not saying IU created that. I'm guessing they didn't. But I've never seen that before. That's cutting-edge stuff. Fred Glass, the AD, is a guy that he helped get the Super Bowl at Indianapolis 10 years ago, whenever that was. I mean, he's a guy that knows how to make money, and he's a guy that sees the big picture. And IU Athletics, from a financial point of view, is in great hands with him because he gets it. He has a vision. And Assembly Hall is not a dump. And they've got a coach who's not a dump. And IU basketball is, whether it's seen as a top 10, top 5 job anymore at this exact moment, I don't know. But in about 3 years, after all this is said and done, I think everybody's going to understand that's top 5 job because Fred Glass, Archie Miller, recruits like Romeo, they're putting it right back where it belongs.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, great stuff as always, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Our segment each week with Greg is presented by Coffee Crossing and their sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread and pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Yes, I'm sure we'll find our way into a little more basketball discussion. It's so hard not to, but we'll also talk IU football coming out of the weekend. It wasn't pretty, but they get a road win at Rutgers over the weekend. 4-1, the record, heading into a game against Ohio State coming up this weekend. We'll talk all of that and more next with Mike Pegram of Pegs on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday show. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, our guest. We're going to start with football. We'll probably get back to a little basketball. I know we've hit things pretty hard coming out of Hoosier Hysteria over the weekend, including in the last segment with Greg Doyle. But, Mike, IU football on the road. In fact, the crowd, as it was really beginning to build at Assembly Hall, got the opportunity to watch the great part of the IU-Rutgers game on the overhead screen inside of Assembly Hall. And Indiana gets the win, although, as I've said a couple times, it wasn't necessarily a convincing win, and it was maybe a little ugly at times. Indiana gets the win, and a Big Ten win on the road is a Big Ten win.
Yeah, you got to take that as such. You know, it's a game that they should have won by a lot more than they did, and, you know, actually played okay in the first half, but let off the gas and nearly let Rutgers back into it. But there are only 2 wins now from bowl eligibility, and that's, you know, huge for this program. And we've got plenty of winnable games, or a few games still left where they may be the favorite. So they're on their way, but, you know, they have to learn how to finish a little better. And that was kind of the theme of the post game after that trip to New Jersey.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. You mentioned some winnable games, maybe some games that IU will be the favorite in forthcoming. Obviously, one of those games is not Saturday at Ohio State. We'll get to that contest in a moment. But as you look at the schedule, at Ohio State, homecoming game in Bloomington against Iowa, Penn State in Bloomington, at Minnesota, Maryland in Bloomington, at Michigan, and, of course, Purdue, a great way to end the season in Bloomington this year. What is your estimation or thoughts on what the win total could be for this 2018 edition of IU football?
Well, I think it'll be a 6 or 7 win team. The Maryland and Purdue games at home, I would think Indiana would be a slight favorite for, though Purdue's starting to play much better. And then you got Iowa at home, you know, a potential victory, but one I don't know that Indiana would be favored, but definitely a more winnable game than, you know, this coming weekend. But, you know, they also, Minnesota hit the world on fire this year. That's a game in, you know, the last weekend of October. They, you know, should be like, you know, the Gophers may just be a 4 or 5 point favorite. It's the kind of game that Indiana needs to win, I think, to get to that 7+ number that they have not been able to reach for forever. But there is opportunity awaits. You know, this game this weekend at Ohio State is going to be a super, super long shot, and that game at Michigan will be really tough. But the rest of the schedule, even Penn State at home, Penn State's offensive line is very suspect. I wouldn't think Indiana would be a huge underdog, but they will definitely be a clear underdog. But it is in Bloomington. So there's opportunities out there to get for the Indiana program to get over the hump. But I would think that I would bet my money that they would end up with 6, but I think there's a great opportunity to get to 7.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com talking some IU football. Let's talk about this game with Ohio State this upcoming weekend. Obviously, it's a huge, huge challenge for Indiana. Ohio State a major, major favorite in the game this weekend. That said, I think it's still a game where Indiana doesn't want to lose momentum, and some people would argue, well, they don't have any momentum coming out of the Rutgers game, but it was a win, and it was on the road, so I believe they do. But it's a game where Indiana, if they could just be competitive, if they could just put together some good drives, some good plays, could keep the positives moving forward to the Iowa game. As you said, homecoming at home, Indiana may not be favored in that game either, but it's a much more winnable game than what they will take on this weekend.
Yeah, this is a solid 7-win kind of team. They should be competitive no matter who they play. They should get blown out. So that's what we'll be watching for in Columbus. And Indiana has been competitive for the most part with Ohio State, especially the last 9 years or so. There's been several close games. Games are in the balance heading into the fourth quarter or well into the second half. So, you know, they've proven they can be competitive with that team. I don't know if they match up as well as the years past or have the kind of offense that gave Ohio State trouble. But, you know, they have to take a step forward, because I don't know if that trip to Rutgers or the Michigan State game was really a step forward as a program. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Just how competitive this team is what we'll all be looking for on Saturday.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Got to work in a little basketball with you. Your thoughts generally coming out of Hoosier Hysteria. You've been to a ton of those events. You've obviously focused on the recruiting side of those events probably longer than anyone from a media perspective. Your thoughts on the event and your thoughts on the recruiting successes maybe that event could help spur?
There's not a lot to pull out of it as far as the Indiana team. I would say I was impressed by how well Juwan Morgan shot the ball. It was nice to see firsthand that Evan Fistner's outside shot is as good as described. He really will help this team, I believe. I thought some of the freshmen, I thought Jake Forrester looked very nice. We did a feature on him today. He had 3 really nice baskets. And Race Thompson, you know, somebody we haven't seen because he redshirted last year, ended up being the leading scorer in the scrimmage. So that was a positive pull from the event. But the scrimmage was kind of a throw it out there and see what you can do. And some of the plays that guys were making were against walk-ons, not really representative of what might happen during the season. But, I think Romeo was kind of holding back in the scrimmage a little bit. But, you know, I think it was a real positive on the night. I think Indiana spent a little bit of money, put graphics on the court. You made sure the recruits were on the right side to read those graphics as the players were introduced and moving them behind the bench. And we talked to Keon Brooks yesterday, and it's all good stuff that he had to say, and really was impressed. And of course, Trace Jackson Davis was there. So you have 2 5-stars that got to see it. And then a whole bunch of young talent from the Indiana, mostly from inside the state of Indiana, was there to experience that. So I also thought it was more concise and straight to the point. Didn't last terribly long and didn't drag out like past Hoosier Hysterias. I think that was a positive based on the feedback I got from some of the fans.
talking IU basketball, Hoosier hysteria with Mike Pegram. You know, one of the complaints, and this is something that's come up before and after Hoosier hysteria on Saturday, but is how drawn out the event was some years and how much dead time there seemed to be between different activities or events or speakers. And I thought that with the usage of graphics to help with the introductions and with the use of the video boards, which are much improved and much larger, much more in high definition than they ever have been, to help explain some of the new facility upgrades. Of course, anytime you got Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller on the video board, you're going to get the attention of the fans in the gymnasium in Assembly Hall that night. But I thought the usage of videos as transitions helped keep the thing much more concise. I really like the time frame, and I think they've got a real product now to work with and fine-tune. And you mentioned the money going into it, or more money, I should say, going into it. But I really feel like they're honing in on what could become a annual tradition that already is popular, already is big, but maybe fine-tune that thing a little bit. And I think they took some big steps to doing that on Saturday.
Right. I completely forgot to mention the whole locker room video, which is huge for recruiting. That was really impressive, I think, to the recruits. And it's something that some other schools have done and begun to use against IU, in terms of, you know, having a nice basketball locker room facility. But Indiana now has gone real first class with it, and now, you know, we should be able to not have that work against them, maybe work for them when they battle it out with some of these really high-profile recruits.
Mike, one thing I mentioned, and I talked about this some of the first segment today, was Chris Holtman, Ohio State. They got another 2019 recruit yesterday, E.J. Liddell. They are the only school in the country at this point with three top 50 commitments in the 2019 class. I think you and I have had a similar conversation about this, but to me, when I see Coach Holtman and Ohio State on the recruiting trail, doing what they're doing out there, getting three big nationally ranked players in the 2019 class already, it's just a reminder that with what Archie Miller is doing at Indiana, what he's expected to do success-wise, I think, as things move forward, the type of recruits that he's landed, the type of recruits that he's involved with, and I think many expect he will land another big-time class for 2019 in Indiana. These guys, I think, are the future of the Big Ten. It's hard to see, unless we're just totally wrong here, Big Ten scenarios and future seasons, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, where these guys aren't battling for supremacy, not just on the court at their respective facilities when the teams play each other, but in Ohio with recruiting, in Indiana, in the Midwest, and maybe even beyond.
Right. Those guys are pretty young. They'll be around for a couple more decades. And, you know, Tom Izzo and John Beilein are the guys that have been getting it done the most of late in the league, but they are, you know, they're getting up there. And, you know, Indiana and Ohio State have young coaches that may be able to take advantage of that when those jobs do get turned over to someone else.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, thanks for the chat. Great to see you in Bloomington, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right, man. Take care. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up, get you all set for Tuesday, and, of course, we'll be back on Wednesday at 11 a.m. as well. Stay with us. One final segment coming your way on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, Matt Dennison back with you for this final segment here on our Tuesday program. A reminder, as we head into week 8 of high school football, by the way, we'll tell you more about that here in just a second, but a reminder that this Sunday, once week 8 on Friday night is said and done, we'll have the 46th annual IHSAA football state tournament pairing show live at 6 p.m. with Bob Lovell and Paul Condrey here on the Big X Sports Radio. Volleyball pairings out this past Sunday. It's time for football pairings, and of course the state tournament begins a couple weeks or so once the pairings are out. Really going to be interesting, especially for Providence and their sectional, also for New Albany and Floyd Central in that 5A sectional. It could be very competitive as well. Week 8 of high school football, New Albany in action. They will host Seymour, Jeffersonville. They obviously in action too at Columbus East. They get the big challenge this weekend. Floyd Central is at Jennings County this weekend. Silver Creek in a big, big game, a Mid-Southern Conference championship game. They will host Brownstown Central, but we'll be following that one for sure. We'll see if John Dablo's team can compete for their first ever Mid-Southern Conference championship since reinstituting football not that many years ago. Also this weekend, Providence, they have an interesting finish to the season over the next couple of weeks. They host Milan this weekend. They played Linton Stockton the following weekend. So a real opportunity for two quality opponents, two sectional-type contender opponents for Providence as they close out the regular season and get ready for the week. Also, Rock Creek is at West Washington. That will be a really big challenge for them. Clarksville hosts Cordon. Maybe a game that Clarksville can be competitive in a lot more than what some of their recent games has been. They were on the road last week at Brownstown. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget you can podcast this if you miss a segment or a full show. You want to go back and check it out. A couple easy ways to do it, SoundCloud or Apple Podcast. You can download the SoundCloud app or just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search for us on Apple Podcast. Leave us a rating and a review while you're there if you would. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show, a podcast with our content. Have a great day. We'll be back on Wednesday at 11 a.m. We'll have Jeff Rabjohns tomorrow. We'll also have Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We've missed him the last couple of weeks, so we'll catch up on some high school football and other local headlines with him in the program as well. Until tomorrow at 11, Matt Dennison saying have a great day, and I'll catch you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report.